to be able to come here together as God's people in His presence. We're thankful for everyone here this morning, and let's be mindful always of what a great blessing it is when God's people come together in His presence. Just a couple things here before we begin our lesson. If you did not grab a bulletin, and if it is not necessarily your custom to read bulletin articles, I believe I have a special two-part article in the bulletin about a very special member of our church family, a very special a message. And I hope that you get one and save it, and then next week read part two of that if you would. So please grab a bulletin, and of course, the event's coming up. Don't forget, trivia night is this Friday, the 14th. Bring some finger food and come and eat about 6 p.m. We'll start playing some games about 7. Everyone is invited. And then we need some more help during the month of July to collect school supplies for our kids. We'll be starting school soon. There are lists in the foyer with items you can buy, and then place the items in the boxes in the foyer. I already saw some folks put some items in there, so please consider doing that. You know, society has lost its way in many areas, right? Anything goes. It seems that there is not a standard anymore. But as we know, the Bible proclaims a straight way forward. And we've looked at evidence over the last several months that absolute truth exists, that God exists, and the Bible is His Word. And it gives us the guide, the only guide, for the straight way forward. Right? And we live in a society that is redefining so many things, even the most basic things about life and about ourselves, even gender and sexuality. Why? Well, it comes down to a worldview, right? A worldview of a deconstructionism, of nihilism. The things that we've believed and practiced in the past have come to be viewed by many in our society as not applying anymore. And it's this worldview of deconstructionism, to deconstruct anything of the past that has to do with tradition or standards of morality. They're set on digging down and pulling apart the ideologies and traditions and basic assumptions in regarding anything that we consider to be real about society. Government, biology, science, religion, psychology, politics, and so on. Deconstruction is based on that postmodern thought. Postmodernism views everything in life as being relative. Right, and there is no objective truth and reality anymore. Now think about this. Suppose you are a post-modernist. You see everything in society, all the constructs of society, as being false constructs of the past. So something like male and female, woman and man, that's just made up. A false construct given to us by Christianity. There's no such thing as male or female. That's something that Christians made up along the way. Now, when we redefine everything to mean what we want it to mean, some people think that there's liberation and freedom in that. that we can just redefine anything and everything, marriage, family, gender. We can make up our own genders. We can make up our own sexualities. We can make up whatever we want because nothing is true in that type of belief system. That's why these things are happening. It all comes down to a worldview. But given what we know, I'd like you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, and I want you to think about everything that we've talked about up to this point. Given what we know, that God is real, that Jesus Christ is the only answer. He's the only way to salvation, right? And the Bible is His inspired word. It is God-breathed. It's His communication to mankind for everything. Remember, we have an evidence-based faith, and we've looked at all that evidence to show that God is real and this is His Word. And we go by what He says. He gives us all things pertaining to life and godliness. You know, and we look at these things that are going on around us, this cultural decay, and we're horrified. And I think rightfully so. Right, and we see the culture around us redefining everything. Redefining the most basic concepts of God's society. We're heading toward what I believe is self-deification. Remember Satan here in the garden? Going into chapter 3, it's heading toward that redefinition of much more than just sexuality and gender. It's heading toward redefining everything concerning humanity, of life, of reality, indeed everything. Right? It's heading toward Christianity, I believe, even possibly heading toward being classified as what we preach is hate speech. Right? I believe that we're that close in our culture, in Western culture, by the way, it's already happening in many, many what we call Western democracies. The lesson that I'm giving right now is considered hate speech. In several of those countries, you go to jail for preaching what I'm preaching this morning. Right? And I know that if that day ever comes, and I pray that it doesn't, where what I'm going to preach, that the authorities come and haul me away, that then the elders are going to get up and they're going to preach this lesson. And they're hauled away, and then the deacons and all the men. When all the men are hauled away, that the women will stand up and they'll preach the truth until they take every one of us, because we're not afraid. If we go back to Genesis, the second chapter, we see how God brought order and design out of the chaos and formless emptiness by creating distinct and separate categories. You know, and sadly, because creation distinctions in the minds of many people have become fluid, our culture is sliding back into a dark chaos, leaving us formless and unfulfilled. Right? In God's good design, He created everyone as male or female. Genesis 1, verse 28, where we see how Adam and Eve were made to complement each other. Right? And if you look and you think about postmodernism and deconstructionism, and there's so many confused about gender and sexuality, the lie of the serpent back here in Genesis 3. Right? Don't be deceived. Continue to believe God's truth. Right, and we need to be guided in this biblical framework that we have. Right, God said, let us make man in our likeness, in our image. God made us as image bearers of Him. You know, everyone matters to God because everyone is made in the image and likeness of God. Right, because we are image bearers of God, our purpose is to reflect, reveal, and represent Him. Now, my primary aim is to clearly present what the Bible says on this topic. And the elders asked me to preach on this, and I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. Now, I've known preachers who have reported that when they have spoken on this topic here and the sin of homosexuality, that some of their members, they leave. They quit that congregation. And they go to them and they ask, well, why are you leaving? Why are you upset? I said, well, we know a lot of people that are transgender and gay, and they're nice people, and we like them. They tried to help them see that, you know, transgenderism, homosexuality is a sin, but God still loves their friends. And the issue is not about how nice someone is. Right? The real issue is always, what does the Bible say? In your New Testament, real quick, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, let's be reminded that, you know, we cannot cave on sin, right? But we're not going to bash the sinners also, right? But instead, we're committed to follow Christ as our example. You know, we're told in John 1 and verse 14 that Jesus is full of grace and truth. Right? And likewise, we're called to share that truth with grace as we speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. We love people, so we tell them the truth. Right? And it's that truth that brings freedom. Right? The truth will set you free. So when we tell people what they need to hear concerning sin, doing it with love, even though they might not want to hear it, we're expressing love because we're concerned for them in that sinful situation. Now, children are on the front line as social media, schools, celebrities, even some libraries are promoting an unbiblical and unnatural gender ideology. And this worldview involves comprehensive sexual education. One example here comes from, well, here's actually a few, from a picture book written for four-year-old children. Right? And if this doesn't make you upset, something's wrong as a child of God. A book for four-year-old children called Gender Fairy, featuring two transgender children. Here's one line in the book. Quote, only you know whether you are a boy or a girl. No one can tell you. And the author goes on to explain, some children will realize their true identity is not the gender they were assigned at birth and will choose to make a social transition to live as their true gender. Other book titles include Bye Bye Binary. Another one, I'm Not a Girl. Another one, Jacob's New Dress. And Gender Swapped Fairy Tales. We saw on TV just the other day, I don't know if it was Paramount or one of those streaming things, and looking for kids shows for Kennedy, and there's a lot of normal ones in there, but right in the middle of all that, I believe it was called Drag Kids, a cartoon for children that dress in drag, as if it's normal. Now, my purpose here is to inform your thinking, solidify your biblical convictions. Some school districts are using the genderbread person to propagate this ideology. One handout reads, gender isn't binary, it's not either or. We shouldn't be surprised because our very own president, and I believe it's below the dignity of the pulpit to talk about politics or political parties, by the way, but this is fact. Our own president invited a man that was made famous on TikTok, who now claims to be a glittering girl, invited him into the White House for an interview not long ago, and the president gushed about the need for so-called gender reassignment surgeries. This is happening every level of politics. It's happening in the corporate world. It's happening in the universities. It's happening in the high school. It's happening in the elementary schools. It's everywhere. And again, my purpose, it's to fortify your courage, to fuel your prayers and encourage your response. Over the past few years, a gender tsunami has swept over our nation. Sharon James from Focus on the Family writes, quote, "This challenge to the man-woman blueprint, which lies at the foundation of family and society, is unprecedented. As an example of this, are you aware that the third Wednesday of October is now celebrated as International Pronouns Day? Back to promoted by your government. Our embassies around the world are flying gay pride and transgender pride flags in the embassies and in our nation's capital, in many state capitals. We live in an age of unprecedented confusion about sexual identity, where now it's trendy to be trans. According to a Pew Research study from just a year ago, June 2022, but that's 2 million adults, young adults. See, belief in the Bible in basic human biology has been declared bigoted and transphobic. So let's do a survey of some scripture here and talk about in God's good design, He created everyone as male or female. So go to Genesis chapter 1, first chapter here. In verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, these 12 words in the Hebrew, in the original language of the Old Testament, they're arranged in three lines, and each with its own poetic repetition and cadence. Right? Just as a poem is used many times to accentuate something, right, with carefully chosen words to bring up images in the mind. Right here, this is how this is constructed. So God celebrates with this superlative language, right, on how men and women are created in his image. And the word so is connected to verse 26. Right? And it expresses agreement or confirmation of what we see in verse 26. Right, so three times the word created is used, right, emphasizing the uniqueness of God. Look at your Bible. Created mankind as male and female. And then from this point on, humanity is divided into two groups, male and female. Right, and added to that, the fact that we are made in the image of God, right, that's stated twice for emphasis. Now consider this phrase, male and female, he created them. Now in Hebrew, it literally reads this way, as male and female created he them. Males and females are equal, but not identical, because their biological sex is separate and distinct. Right? God created males and females on purpose with different purposes. Right? We've been made differently by design with distinct capabilities. Right, distinct roles to fulfill a divine mandate to serve as stewards of God's earth. Now, there's three primary characteristics that distinguish males from females. Right, different reproductive organs, different external anatomy, and the presence or absence of a Y chromosome. Gender is designed by the grand designer at conception, right? From our DNA to our reproductive organs. And God is a giver of gender, right? Males and females do not have interchangeable anatomy, right? And those differences are not inconsequential. And both the Bible and biology make this clear. And the phrase, according to its kind, or according to their kinds, is used 10 times in Genesis 1 to indicate they are separate species and genders which are distinct and different. Right? Clearly God established categories of creation. Just go back here. Right? So in addition, the word separate is used 5 times, by the way, in the first chapter, which means to set apart. right? And the word distinction or differentiation, I want you to notice that, depending on your translation, the creation account, the first 27 verses of your Bible. It shows how God separated many things, right? He separated light from darkness. He separated the waters above from the waters below. He separated the dry land from the waters below. He separated the day from the night. He separated humankind into two biological sexes, right? And then verse 28, and God blessed them. Now, if you go back to verse 2, right, we see how God brought order and design out of the chaos, right, the formless emptiness by creating distinct and separate categories. And again, like I said earlier, sadly, because creation distinctions have now become fluid, we're going back into that chaos, if you will, into that darkness. And in God's good design, he created everyone male and female. Look at verse 28, where we see how Adam and Eve were made to complement each other in an intimate relation so that they can have children, procreate. And this is all part of the blessings given by God when he made them man and woman with different bodies. And God blessed them, we read, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. So because of God's created and wise design, when Adam and Eve came together, they were able to produce the next generation. Right? And God's plan was for them, for us, to flourish and to multiply, be fruitful. When God created humankind as male and female, he didn't just say it was good, by the way. Look at your Bible. Right? He didn't just say male and female, they're good, like he did with the rest of creation. He added a little something in there. Right? Good means well-pleasing, but he adds in very. What he's saying is exceedingly great, exceedingly wonderful in the language of the Old Testament. Right, and you notice a progression in these verses here. Human beings were made in the image of God. We are image bearers of our Creator. He made them male and female. He made them to procreate. And then he called it all very good. And these are our bedrock truths from Genesis chapter 1 that help us resolve many moral issues. Right, including the definition of marriage, right? One man, one woman, with a covenant with one another and a covenant with God in that marriage covenant to be unbreakable. It's a relationship for life, and we can't, and the next thing is we can't change our sex, right? You see, God's way is always best. When we do it God's way, we may not like it, but in the end, it's always the best way. It's always what's best for us when we do it God's way, right? And contrary to our current culture, binary is not bad, it's beautiful, right? Gender is not a social construct, right? You don't just get to choose your own identity. You are who God created you to be. Your gender was designed and determined at conception. A wonderful and powerful thought from Psalm 139 says, because God formed your inward parts, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Or to say it another way, your biological sex and gender are fixed and finite, not fluid. Right back in Genesis 2 and verse 18, we read what God wanted us to know. When Adam was all alone, right? The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. God created Eve to be a perfect complement to Adam and vice versa. Back there in Genesis, the second chapter, Genesis chapter 2, after a pleasant description of how God created woman, Adam breaks out into poetry, speaking the first recorded words from a human here, verse 23, It's as if he's just exploding with delight. This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. God's answer to Adam's loneliness is simple and profound. He created a corresponding partner for Adam. Right? She was like him. She came from him, yet she was different than him. And the Hebrew words tell the story. The word for man is ish, and the word for woman is isha in the Hebrew. And chapter 2 ends with harmony in their home. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. And unfortunately, this changes into chapter 3 when sin enters the world, when Satan deceived and let them think that you can become gods. You can become like God. You can make your own choices concerning who you are and who you serve, which is relevant to what we're talking about this morning. In Deuteronomy, the second chapter, I'm sorry, in the 22nd chapter, in verse 5, a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord our God. Here we see that God prohibits this blurring of gender identity. That's one big reason I believe these drag queen story hours has no place in our schools or our libraries. You know, Jesus confirmed the creation account of Adam and Eve as different and distinct human beings when he says in Matthew 19 and verse 4, "Have you not read, he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" He said something similar in Mark 10 and verse 6. "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that our bodies don't ultimately belong to us. Right? "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." Right? And you go on through your New Testament and how Paul in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 31, he affirms God's creation design of two genders coming together in marriage. And we read, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." In God's good design, he created everyone as male or female. Another quote from Shannon James, Focus on the Family, says it strongly, quote, "To disparage the physical human body is to disparage the God in whose image we are made. To downplay the male-female distinction is to reject God's design." And from what I read in the Bible, I 100% agree with that statement. Transgenderism is unbiblical and it's sinful. That doesn't mean that people who feel this way or act this way are beyond God's love. And here's 8 reasons why it's wrong. And I have these in the handout there. I know it's kind of small on the screen. In the back of your bulletin, this outline. Number 1, it's contrary to God's design for humanity. We already read that, Genesis 1 and verse 27. It opposes God's design for you. Again, we read that in Psalm 139, 13 through 16. It is confusing, and our God is not the God of confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. It makes provision for gratifying the desires of the flesh. Romans 13 and verse 4. It exchanges, these last 4 out of Romans 1, it exchanges God's glory for man's glory. 6, it dishonors the body that God gave you. 7, it is narcissistic. Worshiping and serving yourself. Listen, God is not about making you happy. He's about making you holy. You are not on this earth to satisfy your own happiness. That's not why you're here. You're to seek the Lord and obey His commandments because He loves you and He wants to spend eternity with you. It's not about you. And it is unnatural and it is dishonorable. Now, you know, I, in preparation for this lesson, I was going back and forth on being annoyed and upset about, you know, even having to do this. 4 years ago, I would have never thought that I would have to do a lesson and talk about these things. Homosexuality, yes, but not this. And so here we are, and I just want to give you some definitions that you as God's people now need to be aware of, unfortunately. Right, these are newly invented or newly redefined terms that your government is behind and backs up, that many of your schools and school districts are behind and pushing. Many large corporations. Gender. While gender, it's always been a synonym for one's biological sex, the term has been hijacked by gender theorists. It's often referred to as the gender spectrum. Now, here's something to consider. In 2014, Facebook, another reason why I don't like Facebook, provided 56 gender options. 2014, 56 gender options. Well, by 2018, 71 options were then provided. Now, they've given a gender custom option that basically says, now if you don't identify with any of the pre-populated list of gender identities, you're able to add your own. You know, it's common to hear someone say that the doctor assigned their gender at birth. That is not true, of course. You know, the doctor simply determined who God made you out to be. All right, gender dysphoria is a feeling that one's emotional and psychological identity doesn't match with their biological sex someone was born with. And this is sometimes expressed as feeling trapped in the wrong body. Gender identity is a common phrase and has to do with one's sense of who they feel themselves to be. And it's important to remember, to be human is to be male or female. You know, we know your sex is your gender, and your gender is your sex, period. It has nothing to do with what you might feel, right? It's written in your DNA code, every cell of your body. All right, number four, gender expression, commonly used to refer to how someone presents themselves to others as male, female, some combination of the two, or neither. All right, and this may include language, clothing, actions, and more. This expression is often fluid, and it's basically based on how someone feels. And if you hear that term, gender fluid, they might feel like a boy one day and a girl like the next, and neither the third day. The idea is, if you say it, that settles it, right? But we cannot fall for that. We cannot fall for that. Transgender, umbrella term used to include everyone that feels any dissatisfaction with their biological sex, and also for those who want to cross-dress. Transgenderism is often defined as the expression of a feeling that your gender does not correspond to your sex. Non-binary refers to someone who does not identify exclusively as male or female. Transsexual, people who are biologically normal and healthy men or women, but who live as members of the opposite sex. They may or may not have taken hormonal and or surgical treatment. Finally, cisgender, a recently coined term used as an opposite to transgender. And again, don't play the game. You know, if someone asks, are you cisgender? No, you're either male or female, right? Now, the theory that binary is bad, and we can construct our own gender identity of going to change sex, you can only change appearance. Our birth sex cannot be changed. No amount of surgery can change a man into a woman or a woman into a man. The XX or XY chromosomal pattern is set at conception. And continues here, people who undergo sex reassignment procedures do not become the opposite sex. They merely masculinize or feminize their outward appearance. All right, so let's talk about as we end the lesson here. I know I'm running a little bit long. Actions or steps that we need to take. Right, in God's good design, He created everyone, male or female. So number one, we need to pray. Right, we get that warning in John chapter 10, going into verse 10, talking about Satan, how Satan is a thief and he comes in to steal. Right, this is Satan at work, trying to destroy the good work of God. And we need to pray. We need to pray about this. We need to pray that we do what's right in God's eyes concerning this and other difficult topics. Number two, vote biblical values. I will never get in this pulpit, and I don't think anyone should, and tell you who to vote for or name out any particular party. But listen, do your homework. You know who is supporting this. And let me tell you, there's many in both parties that support this or turn a blind eye to it. Vote biblical values. We happen to live right now in a country where our voting can, to a degree, make a difference. And this includes down to the very local level. Right? And if you get to that portion where, you know, school board members, learn about them, because that's where it begins. Don't think it's only the presidents or senators or congressmen that matters. No, you need to figure it out on a local level. Call them. Get on their website. Ask them. Email them. What's your stance on this? We need to teach children and grandchildren God's good design. And tell them and let them know that it's good news. It's very good news that God created just men and women, male and female. Let us teach our children that. Number four, love. And again, there's a place for righteous anger on this. Let's make sure that we remember we are image bearers of God. And let's teach this truth in love. There's no one beyond the reach of the grace of God. We need to protect our children. It's essential to monitor what our children are being taught and what their little eyes are seeing and what their little ears are hearing and who they're associating with. We need to protect them. The American College of Pediatrics says this, quote, conditioning children into believing a lifetime of chemical and surgical impersonation of the opposite sex is normal and healthful. It is child abuse. And according to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of the American Psychiatric Association, which is the standard in the industry, says, quote, as many as 98% of gender-confused boys and 88% of gender-confused girls eventually accept their biological sex after naturally passing through puberty. So let's not let our young children make life-altering decisions before their brains and bodies are fully formed. We need to speak up. Number six, again, be aware of what's being taught in our schools. Now listen, there's going to be pushback, right? And what we're teaching, what we're preaching here concerning God's Word, and if others out there that believe in that ideology, they find out about it, they're going to be labeled hateful, bigoted, transphobic, right? Homophobic, all you're going to be called names. Prepare for pushback. But you love them with the love of Christ and you tell them the truth. We need to be hopeful. Right? If you were to look at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, and that comes right after that list of just absolutely horrible sins that the people committed, including homosexuality. He says, and such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. We need to share the gospel. Now, that's the answer to everything. All sin, all destructive behavior. We have to share the gospel. Right? It begins by us teaching Jesus to our neighbors. That's the biggest thing that you can do. And we must speak out. Churches must speak out. John Stone Street writes, quote, "With the 900% increase in young people claiming gender dysphoria, love must speak the truth. As gentle as we must be with those who struggle with whom God created them to be, the church has to stand for what is true about humanity, including God's good creation of the human body and the inherent value of each person has since they bear his image. One would expect those who claim Christ would unite in speaking out for God's creation concerning design and against gender theory. Sadly, many who claim Christ have either gone silent or, like some, one of the main Protestant denominations around us has added a third gender option for non-binary gender queer people. But we believe in God's design. We believe in God's design that he made us, that he loves us, he created us who we're supposed to be. And God does not make mistakes. When we think about the gravity of these topics, when we think about the importance of these issues, let us remember God is with us. As long as we're seeking to do what's right, we will be victorious. If anyone has any issues with this, they want to talk about this, they're struggling with this issue, let's sit down and open up God's Word and let's pray. Let's love each other in that study and that prayer. Let's see what God says. Let's not get upset and reactionary. Let's sit down and talk about it. All right, let's make sure we look at it in detail what God has to say, and let's glorify God in how we treat each other with any of these issues. This morning, if you're here and you are subject to the gospel invitation, we encourage you to put on Christ in baptism, having a belief in God, having a love of God, a willingness to repent of your sins and confess him before men, reenact his death, burial, and resurrection and baptism, and then begin that journey carrying your cross until you die or until the Lord returns, whichever happens first, to receive that crown of life. If we can help you with that this morning, we'd love to. If you've done that and you've fallen away and you're ready to come back home, you're ready for reconciliation, let us show you the love of Christ. If you have a need this morning, let someone know, please, as we stand, as we sing.